Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, hour number two, a very quick hour number one. We're going to get you the information, and then we're going to get to our coach's corner. The topic today, who's the biggest jerk you've met that was a pro athlete? We've heard Drew Brees. We've heard Rod Carew. We've heard Ryan Leaf. I mentioned Danny Jackson, an old left-handed pitcher who pitched briefly for San Diego Padres. That's the biggest turd that I dealt with in my career here in San Diego. Love to get your opinion on that. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And if you missed it this morning, the San Diego City Council voted unanimously to move forward with the sale to San Diego State regarding the Mission Valley site to build a brand new stadium and amenities around there. But it still has to go through a couple of more votes in the month of June. Hopefully they can get that done. A purchase can be finalized in July and then get a shovel in the ground in August. Coming up a little bit later on in the program at 2:35, Barbara Bree from the San Diego City Council, one of their members, represents District 1. Barbara will be joining us. Also coming up a little bit later in this hour at 1:35, Kyle Glazer from Baseball America going to join us, and we'll talk about what's going on down in the minor leagues about wanting to contract 40 to 43 teams, and organizations are letting players go right and left, and there's a story out that over the next 2 to 3 weeks, there could be at least 1,000 minor league players on a street corner with a free agent tag around their neck. So we'll get into that, but right now, let's get to today's Coach's Corner.
Coach Cantera breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3, The Fan. Number one.
All right, Coach, I got a defensive back for Tulane punching a girl at a Waffle House. A fight at a Waffle House in Louisiana landed a Tulane football player in jail and a teenage girl in the hospital, police said. Zachary Police Chief David McDavid, told the Advocate that the fight earlier Monday morning, which led to the arrest of defensive back Tyler Judson, originated from an argument about a conversation on Instagram. Tulane said in a statement that Judson, who was facing second-degree battery charges, has been kicked off the team. Police did not identify the girl, but WWL-TV reported her to be a high school student. Her mother told the news outlet that her daughter has many facial fractures and will likely need surgery around her eye and for a broken nose. Tulane football player punches a teenage girl in the face over an argument over Instagram at a Waffle House.
He kicked off the team. He's got to be thrown out of school. That guy's going to have to do a lot to repair his life. I mean, just stupidity all around.
Number two.
Well, since the Bills can't train in New York, some of them went down to Florida. The Buffalo Bills players gathered in Florida this week to work out together, including the quarterback Josh Allen and wideout Stephon Diggs. It's the latest example of Allen training with his teammates this offseason. He and quarterback Matt Barkley threw to Bills rookies Isaiah Hodgins, Gabriel Davis and Zach Moss in California earlier this month. Florida workouts marked not only the first time Allen and Diggs had trained together since the latter was traded to Buffalo in March, but also the first time the new teammates had met. The list of Bills players present include Allen, Barkley, rookie quarterback Jake Fromm, wideouts Diggs, Hodges, Davis, John Brown, Robert Foster, Cole Beasley, Isaiah McKenzie, and about seven other Bills going down to Florida to get some workouts in. Hey, if you can't work out at your training facility, you might as well go down to Florida. They seem to be open.
Josh Allen's going to get better by having Stephon Diggs in that wide receiver spot. That Bills team going to be tough. I don't know if they're good enough to win the AFC. They're good enough to win the East, I think. But Josh Allen, as he gets better, let's remember, not only does he have that big arm, he got to get a little bit more accurate with his throws, especially those intermediate throws, but he's very dangerous with his legs. I mean, he's developing rather nicely, and, you know, if he can take that next step, who knows how deep the Bills could go in the playoffs next year.
Number three.
David Price has yet to throw an official pitch for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but he has already made a profound impact throughout the organization. All-star left-hander will give each minor league player who is not on the Dodgers 40-man roster $1,000 for the month of June. Sources confirmed to ESPN, the act of generosity will impact just over 200 people facing unprecedented difficulty during the coronavirus pandemic. The development was first reported by Francis Romero. Dodgers had already committed to continuing their $400 a week payment to minor league players, domestic as well as those training out of the team's academy in the Dominican Republic through June. The Oakland Athletics recently decided to cease all those payments at the end of this week, and other teams might soon follow suit. Why, Coach, does it take a player to do what some owners need to do?
You know, because some players, they remember where they came from. Not that David Price spent a lot of time at the minor leagues. He really didn't after that great career at Vanderbilt. But, you know, he's been very fortunate in his career. I would imagine that's going to cost him a little bit over $200,000. But at the end of the day, you know, looking at it from a tax standpoint, probably get a nice little bit of a write-off, but a very, very nice gesture.
Number four.
NCAA released a long and detailed plan Friday to help schools bring athletes back to campus during the pandemic. The resocialization of college sports action plan considerations was announced as schools across the country prepare for the return of football players as early as June 8th. NCAA's Division I Council voted last week to lift a moratorium on athletic activity starting Monday that cleared the way for voluntary workouts and training to begin at team facilities. Schools have already started putting plans in place to test athletes, coaches, and staff for the coronavirus and implement social distancing. The NCAA says its plan is offered as guidance consistent with federal and local public health guidelines. Shortly before the NCAA released its guidelines, the University of North Carolina posted on social media its plan to bring athletes for football and men's and women's basketball back to campus for voluntary workouts beginning June 12th. The University of Arizona also detailed its phased reentry, starting with football players returning to campus for voluntary workouts June 15th. All student athletes and staff members will follow evaluated safety protocols for testing, tracing, and treatment.
You know, Braden, you think about all the man hours that have gone into all these new rules and regulations. I mean, the hours that these people have had to, you know, really educate themselves before they put these words on paper, it's just amazing to me. And you know what? I think everybody's out there doing the best they can. There's no real book on how to deal with a pandemic. And, you know, we're learning day by day. And, you know, hopefully a lot of these rules and regulations in the future will, a lot of hard work will go by the wayside. Because hopefully, and I'm waiting for that vaccine, Braden. I'm waiting for that vaccine.
Number five.
Waiting on treatment, but it would work just as well as a vaccine would. As the NBA's Board of Governors met Friday afternoon to assess options for how to restart the season, the league's general managers have expressed their preference to go straight to the playoffs. In a survey of all 30 general managers, which was viewed by ESPN, 16 said they would prefer the league come back with just the typical 16 playoff teams, with the teams and seedings based on the standings when the season was suspended March 12th. That was one of four potential return-to-play options presented, and it earned more votes than any of the other three options combined, which include resume the regular season with all 30 teams followed by a play-in tournament. That only got 8 votes. Go straight to the playoffs with either a play-in tournament or a World Cup-style group stage, 5 votes, and resume the regular season with all 30 teams and then go straight into the playoffs. That only got 1 vote. Since this was one of the more than 10 questions on the survey, which covered a variety of topics ranging from roster size to how the long season should last. Not surprisingly, most of the questions centered on what the league's return to play should look like and how it should be formatted. Earlier today, Adam Silver in the league office informed Board of Governors that July 31st is a target date for the return of the season. And the thing I pose to you, Coach, is why is it going to take that long?
That's a very good question. I mean, that's more than 2 months away right now, a little over 2 months away. And by that time, they're going to be down there in Florida, and Disney World will be open. I don't know what's going on with the NBA. They seem to be really having some issues.
But this one is over. That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
On 97.3, The Fan.
Yeah, Braden, I don't know about the NBA right now. Adam Silver, who I think has really done a pretty good job overall since he took over for David Stern, he and his lieutenant seem to be really struggling with this whole situation.
Yeah, I don't understand the start date of July 31st. Is that because they want to start like July 1st with training and everything, and then that's when you can start gearing up? I mean, by the time we get to July 31st and the way things are opening up as they are, I mean, do you even really need a bubble anymore? Because when you're talking about the whole bubble scheme, that was like a month ago when we're at the height of the pandemic. Hey, we can like isolate our players. They won't get sick. They're playing in a bubble. It's fine. We can get games back on television. But starting on July 31st, you're going to create a bubble at Disney World where Disney World is open and they will have been open for at least 15 to 20 days. And you're going to bring the NBA, all the players there that are on the teams with their families, but then tell the families that they're going to have to stay in the hotels and they can't get out of the hotel because we're trying to quarantine the player. That doesn't make any sense to me. At that point, you might as well just have them play in their own arenas, and we'll see what happens in 2 months. But, I mean, July 31st, I think that's just kind of, I think that's a failure on the NBA's part.
Yeah, but Braden, look at the NHL. When they announced it on Tuesday, they kind of left an open a door on exactly when they're going to start their training camp. And they said, you know, probably, you know, get back at it at the end of July. But we don't really have any definitive dates on the NHL right now either.
They have dates of like when they want to start like their off-season training. But then it says like, you know, we don't, all the other dates in terms of actual games are to be determined, which I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. That they're gonna, they're like basically on pace to start in August. And if they're starting in August, and the NBA starting in August, and if baseball's back, they'll probably be playing in August. Guess what else happens in August, Coach? You got the NFL back.
NFL.
Where are all these teams going to play? And I don't mean locations. I mean television time. And you talked about that earlier this week. But, I mean, there's only so much TV time that can go around in prime spots. What's going to happen?
It'd be interesting. We might be able to wake up on a Wednesday morning and have our scrambled eggs and coffee and watch a football game on a Wednesday morning. Who knows where this is headed right now? These networks, they're probably trying to ask themselves the same question right now, I would think.
You know for a fact football's not going to be giving up primetime spots. The NHL is going to be playing at like 6 in the morning to try to like make up for playing on some of these games. But I guess the NHL is with NBC, and NBC doesn't have any other sports. I mean, what's golf going to do? A golf on a Sunday, I mean, you got to compete with the NBA now. You're going to have to compete with baseball. You're going to have to compete with the NFL. I mean, it's just going to be sports overload in August, which I'm all for. But, I mean, they keep pushing everything back. I think, I mean, at this point, we don't even know what's going to happen in the next 2 months, but I mean, we already have the state of Texas opening up 25% of outside stadiums for events. I can't imagine, unless things get drastically worse, which we are all hoping they don't, and we continue to make progress. I mean, you might be in a situation by July 1st, you might even have 25% of stadiums open across the country. Who knows?
Braden, I'm hoping that's the case, but every day, and I mentioned this yesterday on the program, and you and I talk a lot off the air about what's going on in the different states. You know, every day I look at what's going on in Georgia, I look at what's going on in Florida, and I look at what's going down in Texas, because they're having some success right now, and they're opening up more and more and more. You mentioned the other day the Georgia governor. It's been a month now since they've opened up, and they still got some regulations and all that. And you know, people are going out, and a lot of people are still wearing the masks and all that. And I think that's a good idea. I think not only for yourself, but more important for, you know, people that are in your life that are older, maybe more susceptible, autoimmune disease, maybe heart issues, diabetes. You know, we've heard it over and over. I mean, still wash your hands, but wear that mask when you come into contact with people. You know, I've got, Braden, I've got about five masks. Two of them, by the way, are Padre masks. Another one's a baseball mask, and I got kind of a centennial-looking mask that I wear, and then I got kind of a generic one. But, you know, when I go out and walk, and like today, I'm planning on going to walk 2.5 to 3 miles after the show, and I'll come back and do my little segment with Tony and Chris at about 5:20. But I'll wear my mask for a while, then it gets hot and I'll take it off. But when I see people walking towards me, I put my mask on, not to protect myself, more to, you know, protect them and take people's uneasiness away. Because there are a lot of people that are scared out there still. I mean, I'm still scared. I don't want to do anything that's dumb and going to expose myself or my wife or, you know, any members of my family that, you know, may come into contact with me. And, you know, we're concerned about our grandchildren. We've seen our grandchildren each of the last couple of weekends. But again, we don't know where they've been, you know, maybe during the week or who they've come into contact with. But, you know, we're still playing it very safe. But, again, a lot of these states are really starting to move forward. We're making a little steps right now. You know, Tuesday we can start going to the beach, lay on the beach with people from your own household. So, you know, we're walking before we run. We are making progress, not as quick as you and I would like it to be, but I'm watching what these other states are doing in Texas, Georgia, and Florida. They're having really good success right now.
Speaking of that, ABC, the news network, looked at 21 states that eased restrictions May 4th or earlier and found no major increase in hospitalizations, deaths, or percentage of people testing positive in any of them. That includes South Carolina, Montana, Georgia, Mississippi, South Dakota, Arkansas, Colorado, Idaho, Iowa, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Wyoming, Kansas, Florida, Indiana, Missouri, and Ohio. So, I mean, it's been a month. It's been a month, and there's been no gigantic increase. I think that's good news. I think that's good news to report, and I think that's another reason why we're stepping in the right direction.
You know, you mentioned South Dakota, and I've heard their governor interviewed a few times on the news. You know, they were doing really well, and then they had that meatpacking plant where the coronavirus broke out. But overall, South Dakota, and I know, you know, it's spread out up there, but they've had pretty good success dealing with this so far, as have a few of the other states. But, you know, I'm concerned about our state, and we're making progress here. You know, one death for me and like you and all of our listeners, one death is too much. And I know we had, you know, 5 or 7 deaths a couple of days ago here in San Diego. That's too much, but it is what it is. And, you know, hopefully everyone out there doing a good job of protecting themselves and their family the best they can. Braden, we'll get to our NFL segment and get into these rules, because I think the fans will enjoy hearing about some of the rules going into 2020. We'll do that in our next segment. Again, we got Kyle Glazer coming up for Baseball America at 1:35. But I want to get back to your phone calls. Kind of a fun segment on a Friday. Who's the biggest jerk you've met that was a pro athlete? Who's the biggest jerk you've met that was a pro athlete? That whether you met him, you know, working at a stadium or maybe being a waiter or waitress in a restaurant, a bellhop at a hotel. Love to hear from you on that. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Also want to remind everyone, this hour of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. We all start to get back on the road again. Now's the perfect time to think about taking a California Motorcyclist Safety Course. The course allows you to skip the riding skills test at the DMV and is required for riders under 21. Become a better rider. Learn more at CaliforniaMotorcyclist.com. With that, we'll take a quick time out, back with a whole lot more, and we're going to get in to the approved 2020 playing rules and bylaws for the 2020 NFL season. Coach John Quintero, we're headed to 3 o'clock today in the Gwynn and Chris program right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .97.3 The Fan's Best Coworker of the Week Photo Contest presented by Solid Gold Pet Foods. .97.3 The Fan wants to highlight your pet coworker. Submit a photo of them keeping you company while you're at work for a chance to be picked as the Best Coworker of the Week and win a $250 prize pack of Solid Gold pet products. For more info and to submit your pet coworker of the week, go to 973thefansd.com. I said it yesterday. You know, we got an opportunity to win a $500 Sprouts Market gift card, $250 right here to possibly win pet products for your coworker. And, of course, coming up here shortly at 150, we got today's Bench the Coach. We're playing for a $50 Panera Bread e-card. And, Braden, in what direction are you headed today?
Go Padres draft. Padres draft.
Padres draft. Okay, very good. That'll be coming up at 150. I'll be giving that phone number out if you want to get into the rotation on a Friday. And, again, coming up at 135, we're going to talk baseball with a veteran writer and a good one from Baseball America, Kyle Glazer. We are going to hear from Barbara Bree from the San Diego City Council at 235. Of course, this morning, if you haven't heard, the City Council unanimously voted to move forward with the sale to San Diego State on the Mission Valley site. Still has to get through a couple of more layers of the City Council, but right in the right direction. Barbara will be able to explain the next couple of steps, and hopefully, just hopefully in the month of June, they can get it done. They get the sale finalized in July, and San Diego State can get a shovel in the ground in August. Again, if you'd like to call in today, love to hear from you. Our topic, who's the biggest jerk you've met that was a pro athlete? Our phone number at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Here in a couple of minutes, we're going to get to the approved 2020 playing rules and bylaws for the National Football League. But right now, I want to get back to your phone calls, and let's head up to Ramona. Josh, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
Hey, Coach. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for taking time out of your day to dial me up.
No problem. No problem. It's good to hear you. You guys have been playing this whole time. Makes it feel a little bit normal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that a great deal. Well, what do you got for me today, Josh?
I think, man, I had to have been about like 6 or 7 years old. So grew up in Michigan. I was a big Detroit Red Wings fan. And I was actually a fan of a goalie that they were playing against the other team, which is the New Jersey Devils. And it was Martin Brodeur. And I actually got lucky enough during the game. There was like a battle for the puck. Puck popped up, hit the netting, rolled on the netting, I swear, for like 3 minutes. Fell down, hit my mom's knee. And I just dove like three aisles forward, got this puck, was so excited about it. And then after the game was done, I went to try to go get Martin Brodeur's autograph. I stood out there for like three or four hours. I don't know why they were in the stadium for so long. But there was like a few Devils players, a few Red Wings players autographing pucks in the back and stuff like that, autographing memorabilia. So I was like yelled to Martin Brodeur when I finally seen him walk out to the bus. And I was like, Mr. Brodeur, can you sign my puck? I caught this. And was so excited about this. This guy looked me dead in my eyes and just shook his head and walked on the bus.
Is that right?
No joke at all. Like my sister was with me too. And she was like, did that just happen to us? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it did. Just crushed as a child.
Josh, let me ask you, how far away were you, like, standing behind the fence, or were you fairly close to him, or where were you in relation to where he was?
They actually had the fence opened up, too, because, like I said, there was a few players that were just autographing stuff just for fun. Like, I think he had a bad game, too. Like, he had to have, like, 5 goals scored against him that game. So, I mean, I could, like, see he probably had a rough game. The Red Wings just destroyed them. But, yeah, this was when the Red Wings were really good.
Yeah, that's too bad. Martin Brodeur, I mean, what a great career. And, you know, he had a bad night. And, you know, who knows what was going on in his personal life at that point in time. You never know. I mean, you know, we see these guys, you know, as athletes wearing their uniform. And, yeah, I do think that they have a – in my opinion, I think they need to have an obligation to, you know, sign autographs. I can tell you nowadays, players don't sign as much as they used to, and a lot of it has to do with a lot of the restrictions out at the ballpark. It's more the security than it is the ball players, and you just can't get close to ball players like you once could to get those autographs. But, yeah, I'm sorry you had that experience because I think, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame-type player, and that would have been nice to get that, and it obviously, you know, kind of tarnished his reputation the way you look at him. But, again, if he gave up five goals, maybe he just wasn't in the right frame of mind to come over and sign that autograph. But, you know, I appreciate you calling and sharing that story. That's good stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I got a little bit of revenge on it, too. I actually went to a since I'm from Detroit, I went to a Detroit, like, kind of like alumni, Red Wings alumni, like, ceremony and stuff like that, and got, like, a whole bunch of Detroit players to sign it. Manny Legacy happened to be there, was the goalie that was playing against him that year, and he signed that same puck for me.
Hey, did you tell Manny Legacy the story about Brodeur or no?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was like, man, what a jerk.
Oh, that's great. Well, hey, Josh, I appreciate you giving me a call today. Thanks for the story. That's great.
Yeah, of course. You have a good day, Coach.
Oh, real good stuff. Hey, I want to remind everyone, this hour of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. We all start get back on the road. Now's the perfect time to think about taking a motorcycle safety course. The course allows you to skip the riding skills and the test at the DMV and is required for riders under 21. I'm a better rider. Learn more at thecaliforniamotorcyclist.com. We're going to get to Kyle Glazer coming up here at about 1:38, but right now, Braden Suprinant, fill us in on all these new rules and bylaws for the 2020 National Football League season.
Yeah, it's only they only passed four. Unfortunately, they did not pass the 4th and 15 one-time try to get the ball back instead of onside kick. I think that was a failed attempt by the NFL in terms of they probably should have passed that because that's way more exciting to watch and way safer to watch than any type of onside kick where you're just looking for a lucky bounce at this point. So I think it's a missed opportunity for them. But let's get to the rules that did get passed. They made permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any successful or unsuccessful try attempt. They also expanded the defenseless player protection to a kickoff or punt returner who is in possession of the ball but who has not had time to avoid or ward off the impending contact of an opponent. I think that's going to it'd be a disaster this season. A third one that they came up with was preventing teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls while the clock is running. I do think that's a good rule. I think we talked about that when we were breaking these down a week ago. Last one. The increases the number of players that may be designated to return from 2 to 3 in terms of the injured reserve incorporates interpretations applicable to bye weeks during the regular season and postseason. I think that's a good rule as well. I like two of the four rules here implemented by the NFL.
The punt rule or kick rule, I guess, it come into play more with punts. Being interesting to see how the referees call that. I think that's going to be left up to a lot of criticism throughout the course of the year. And that rule, as far as you know, committing a penalty and then getting the clock to restart again and rolling, did they call that the Belichick rule or the Vrabel rule?
Maybe it's the Belichick-Vrabel rule.
Yeah, how about that? Vrabel ran it against his old coach, and boy, that in that game, old Belichick was steaming on the sideline, wasn't he?
Right. I mean, honestly, like, if that happened to me, I would be upset. But if it happened to me and I've been doing it, I wouldn't be that upset, and I wouldn't be.
Oh,
I mean, come
upset,
on, you can't. You can't get upset when somebody does your own trick against you. It's more like you should tip your cap and be like, "All right, well played."
Yeah, look at where he learned that trick, huh? Playing for Belichick.
Belichick should have known better.
I know. He was so irritated that day. we'll wait and see how those rules go. But I think that rule on as far as being able to come down and clock the punt returner are going to be very interesting to see how that's interpreted from official to official. We're going to get to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk baseball. And we can go a lot of different directions with our next guest. Kyle Glazer of Baseball A Miracle will join me on the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Thanks for tuning in to 97.3 The Fan. I'm going to invite everyone to stay connected with 97.3 The Fan for United San Diego, and let's move California forward. Our people, our businesses, and our leaders will move California forward. Coach John Cantara, till 3 o'clock, it'll be Gwen and Chris. They'll have you for a full 4 hours this afternoon. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, we've got Bench the Coach. If you'd like to play me in a trivia game for a $50 Panera Bread e-card, get on the line right now at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And Braden said today we're going to talk about the Padre drafts. I don't know what direction he's going on that, but again, if you'd like to play me for a $50 Panera Bread e-card, 833-288-0973. We're going to get to our guest right now as we head out to our SDCCU fan hotline. One of the very well-respected writers nationwide when it comes to covering the pros, the amateurs. He gets it done in all areas. Our good friend from Baseball America, Kyle Glazer, joins us on 97.3 The Fan. Kyle, welcome. And boy, I got so many questions for you today. I don't even know where to start because we got problems at the big league level. I'm very upset about what's going on with the minor league players. I'm very upset about what's going on with minor league baseball right now. And I know that you're talking to people in all walks of life around baseball right now. And I guess let's start with the big league guys, and then we'll go down to the minor league players and the minor league franchises. But right now it doesn't look real good the way the owners and players are going back and forth.
No, it doesn't. I think one thing that people keep pointing to and putting their faith in is negotiations are never pretty. There's always ugliness. There's always some sniping in the media. There's always a lot of, harsh words thrown around. But generally speaking, since 1994-95, they've always figured out a way to get it done. So a lot of people are hopeful they will continue to do that and do that in this situation. It's just terrible optics if they don't get it done. By the same token, there's a lot of distrust on both sides. There are very, very clearly some issues with the proposals that the owners have put forth. I should say one was officially a proposal. The other was more they leaked something through the media and the players union shut it down pretty quickly. So there's no guarantee. At this point, the best we can do is be hopeful and just watch and wait and see what happens. But you're right. The way things have gone this week, it's difficult to be overly optimistic.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining on our SDCCU fan hotline. I'm very troubled by all these youngsters down in the minor leagues trying to realize their dream. And, you know, we saw a bunch of guys over the last couple of days released. We hear that there could be, over the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe 1,000 players released from minor league baseball. Now, I realize that, you know, they're not going to probably play this year, and I realize there's some organizations that are paying guys until the end of August, some paying to the end of this month, some the end of June. But boy, I'll tell you what, 1,000 ball players out of jobs, their dreams are crushed, and where is this headed?
Well, keep in mind, a lot of players who in a normal year get released at the end of spring training were not released this year just because really everything had shut down and teams were trying to figure out where everything stood. So there's no question we're about to see a flood of releases. It remains to be seen if the number will actually be larger than the number of releases we typically see from March to May every year. My colleagues at Baseball America went back and looked at this. And in 2019, 755 players were released between March and May, minor league players, I should say. In 2018, that number was 668. So in a normal year, between 650 and 750 minor league players are released between March and May. Just right now, a lot of it's very concentrated. It's all happening at once as opposed to spread out over the first 3 months of the season. If this final number is well over 750, then yes, we're looking at something beyond the pale. But as of right now, we don't know that for sure. We need to wait and see what the final number actually looks like when all 30 teams have made their cuts next week.
You know, one of the things I was saying yesterday, when you're having so many guys getting released, it's kind of at the same time. You know, if I'm A.J. Preller or I'm Billy Epler, I'm having my scouts, every guy that gets released, I want to know about that guy. Is that a guy that we can bring into our organization and help our ball club? Because I got to believe there's some good players being released that probably still have a puncher's chance to make it to the major leagues.
There's no question. Teams are always scouring minor league releases, trying to find someone that can help them out, whether that's organizationally or someone they think has a legitimate chance to become a big leaguer. And the teams that have kept their scouts employed, kept their front office officials employed and paid, they're going to be able to mine these transaction wires and find some hidden gems. That's also true. A lot of teams that have furloughed scouts, when those contracts are up, you know those scouts are probably not going to want to go back to the teams that let them go. There's going to be a lot of good scouts that other teams are going to be able to pluck away.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, always nice enough to join us on our SDCCU fan hotline. While you're talking about scouts, I love scouts, everything that they represent. And, you know, they're driving through the rain, the fog, midnight after seeing a young star athlete, and they're driving miles and miles a day just to see a guy maybe pitch two or three innings. I got the utmost respect for baseball scouts, and I know that a lot of organizations maybe don't value them now the way they have in the past and the way they should, that I believe. How about as far as what you're hearing right now from organization to organization? How are the scouts hanging in there as far as being still employed during this pandemic?
It really depends whatever team you're with. We've seen different teams make different decisions. Some have committed to keeping their entire baseball operations staffs employed through October. Others, it's been through June and everyone's operating month to month. And others have already instituted large-scale furloughs. We've seen the A's and Angels do that for a lot of their scouts and minor league development staff. You know, the scouts who are still out in limbo, because not every team has announced their plans yet, they're nervous, they're unsure, they're uncertain. So you have a mix of uncertainty and a little bit of relief, but it really just depends on what organization you're with. And again, the organizations that have stayed true to their guys and continue to pay them, they're the ones who are going to benefit long-term, both in terms of being able to retain the best scouts and also just the fact that these guys are employed. It can help them really go get good players that are currently being released from the minor leagues or, in some cases, going to be coming out of the draft. We've had some teams furloughing scouts in the days after the draft when normally that's when you go get your undrafted free agents. And a couple of those guys definitely make the major leagues.
Kyle, where are we at with this, you know, wanting to cut out 40 to 43 minor league teams? You and I discussed it a little bit a few weeks ago, but where are we at with that?
The expectation is it is going to happen. Again, nothing has been officially decided. Major League Baseball is focused, and understandably, 100% on their negotiations with the Major League Baseball Players Association. All the minor league considerations are going to be dealt with after that is taken care of. But the expectation right now is between Major League Baseball's desire to cut the number of affiliates, how the coronavirus pandemic has really negatively affected the bottom line of a lot of these affiliates, the expectation is we are going to be looking at this new reality shortly of 120 minor league teams that are affiliated, and the rest are either going to shut down or going to have to try and cut it as independent league teams or potentially an MLB-affiliated Dream League, which essentially is an independent league team.
You know, the thing, and I brought this up to you, and we'll see what teams that are so-called contracted. I want to know how Major League Baseball is going to go into a guy that, you know, maybe spent $8 or $10 million to buy a franchise in one of these leagues, and you know, it's had a good ball club and making money, and all of a sudden, well, you're not going to be in organized baseball any longer. I mean, all of a sudden, this guy's out $8 to $10 million maybe for a franchise he bought 4 or 5 years ago. I want to know how they're going to rectify that.
And that's something that's going to have to be determined. There have definitely been some rumblings from minor league owners that looking at potential legal action if something like that were to happen. But Major League Baseball can argue, hey, all we guarantee you is a 2-year player development contract. That's it. Outside of that player development contract, we don't have to affiliate with you, and you knew that when you bought this ball club. You took that chance. We'll have to see what action is taken, whether they decide to pay some of these minor league club owners, whether it ends up in courts. Again, there's so much unknown with this, and a lot of it's just going to be determined by the decisions the major players in the decision make, and we can't predict that at this point.
Kyle Glazer, join us from Baseball America. We got the draft coming up on June 10th and 11th. I know you're a big fan of the draft. Only 5 rounds this year. Give me the top 2 or 3 guys you think that we may hear their names called that day.
Sure. So the consensus top 3 players in this draft are Spencer Torkelson, power-hitting first baseman at Arizona State. He broke Barry Bonds' freshman home run record. You have Austin Martin, a utility man out at Vanderbilt, one of the best players on one of the best teams in the country, and Asa Lacy, a hard-throwing left-hander out of Texas A&M. Those are the top three players in this draft. The expectation is they will be the top three picks. Again, stranger things have happened, but that's the pretty clear top three in the draft this year.
Hey, let me ask you about Lacy, the kid out of Texas A&M. You know, this is a weird year. I mean, we're hearing that there are going to be 30 players on the Major League roster. You're going to have 20 guys, you know, on a taxi squad working out, staying in shape. I mean, is Lacy the type of guy? Because you're not going to have a minor league season. He wouldn't pitch until, you know, maybe the fall league or something like that. If he's staying in shape and they get him some innings, you know, down there in an inter-squad game in Arizona or Florida, depending on who he gets drafted by, is he the type of guy? Is he close enough to where we could actually see him in the big leagues this year because there's no minor league baseball?
Potentially in a relief role, yeah. There's a really, really good college pitching class this year. Emerson Hancock out of Georgia, Max Meyer out of Minnesota, Reed Detmers out of Louisville. There's no question all these guys, especially because they didn't pitch this year and they have fresh arms, they all could move quickly. They all could be kept on these squads. And yeah, they all could get some stints out of a major league bullpen. Again, I don't think we'll see them starting in the major leagues, but sure, give them an inning or two, let them just blow it out there. All these three guys can bring it. That would be Lacy, Hancock, and Meyer. Detmers is more of a soft tosser, but yes, that is absolutely a distinct possibility that we could see a lot of these pitchers make that jump.
Hey, I got one more question. I do want to throw out our phone number because we got Bench the Coach coming up, and I want to get a couple of people online for that. If you'd like to play for a $50 Panera Bread e-card, give us a call right now. Get ready to take me on in our trivia at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Kyle, I saw this, and they haven't voted on it, I don't believe, and it's the college coaches wanting to push the baseball season into March to where you wouldn't play the College World Series until the middle of July. You know, you start about July 15th, and then the two out of three would start on July 23rd. This would be for 2022. And I'm saying, boy, that's going to really cut into all the guys that get drafted. That's going to really cut into their first year of minor league development. Could you talk a little bit about that, and do you think that'll get approved?
So one thing to keep in mind here is there's been a lot of talk about pushing the draft back into July. So in theory, this actually wouldn't affect their ability to go out and get drafted and move into that development phase of their careers if the draft is moved back. The biggest thing behind this proposal is helping teams cut travel costs. A lot of times the cold weather schools with the season opening in mid-February are on the road essentially the first month to month, you know, month and a half of the season, the Minnesotas, the Boston Colleges of the world, where it's way too cold to play at home. So there's a lot of extra travel costs because of that. And the idea is if you push this into March, maybe they don't have to go spend all that time on the road. You also have some considerations for teams who are maybe going to go and only play a three-game series but over 2 days as opposed to 3 days. It's one less night of hotel rooms. Really finding a way to help college baseball emerge from this without a ton of financial concerns is the biggest driver of this. And I think the ultimate idea is by pushing the season back 4 weeks, it's less road games for some of those cold weather schools, and those travel cost savings can add up to, you know, upwards of $100,000.
Well, I'm glad I asked you that question. You explained it, especially if they move the draft a little bit later. That would make a little bit more sense. Hey, great to have you, my friend. Have a great weekend. Hope you and the family are well. And, boy, I can't wait to see you at Petco Park one of these days.
Thanks, John. Hope you're well, too, and I definitely can't wait to be back out at a ball field with you soon.
All right, be well. There you go. Kyle Glazer from Baseball America joining us on the program. There's so many things to be asked and answered right now in baseball. I am just so upset about all these baseball players being released. I mean, there's some really, really good talented guys getting released. I saw the Giants. I talked to a player with the Giants last night. And there were 17 players released from the Giant ball club yesterday. And I read in the paper the Padres have over the last week have dropped about 30 ball players. And, you know, there's always an excess. I understand that. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. We're going to keep our eye on that. I want to remind everyone, all guests on the John Quintero Show, come be the SDCCU fan hotline. Vote SDCCU for the best credit union in the Union Tribune's Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big banking, it's better. Let's get to today's Bench the Coach.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, coach, playing today is Phil from Fletcher Hills. Phil, what's going on?
Hey, Phil, how are you,
buddy? Not too much. I'm happy. I got my hair cut today.
Good luck.
All right, Phil, in order to take down Coach today, you're going to have to name me one of the last, one of the picks that the Padres have made in the first round since 2010. There are a lot to choose from on this list. For everyone you get right, you get a point. For everyone Coach gets right, he gets a point. Phil, can you name me a first-round draft pick for the Padres since 2010?
I'm not sure. Need a lifeline.
Who did he
Coach, say? Can you name me a player the Padres have drafted in the first round since 2010?
Yeah, a guy that had a pretty good year last year with the Atlanta Braves, Max Fried.
That's correct. Max Fried was drafted in the first round by the San Diego Padres back in 2012. Phil, back to you. Can you name me a first-round draft pick for the San Diego Padres since the year 2010?
How about Fried?
What was that?
I think it's David Fried. He's now with the Angels.
Although David Fried was drafted by the Padres, he was not drafted in the first round by the Padres, and it was not drafted since 2010. That was a good guess, though. Coach, back to you.
That is correct. I would go with Mackenzie Gore.
That's correct. Mackenzie Gore, drafted in the first round in 2017. Phil, you got to try to stay alive here. Give me a first-round draft pick since the year 2010 for the San Diego Padres.
I think I'm dead. Have a good one, Coach. Thank you.
All righty. I'll go with Ryan Weathers.
That is correct. Hey. Ryan Weathers was also a first-round draft pick for the San Diego Padres. We'll get to this full list later at 2:15.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Good effort there, Phil. We're running a little bit short today, but that's all right. I probably had a little bit of an advantage today because all those guys, when they were drafted, I was usually there at their first workout, so I remember them pretty well. Thanks again to Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining us. When we come back, how do you think the American sports leagues are doing in handling coming back to playing? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Coach John Quintero, this is 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.